Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 20th of March, Anno Domini 2005, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm John Champlin.
Andrew Welch.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we have a lot of people. It's a crowd in here today, and the crowd goes wild. And we'll be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, all kinds of interesting things here on the show. We're going to start with something that I've been thinking about for a while. Oh, while I start up the...
You forgot to push that button again.
I forgot to push the button. I hate it when I do that. But now the Shoutcast, the streaming thing should be starting up any second now. For all those of you who aren't hearing us, I apologize.
Do not push the red button.
Do not push the red button. All right, there. Now we're up. Now we're up and on. I wanted to talk a little bit about fishing, and not the sport, the PH fishing, which has nothing to do with the band. Phishing is when you get an email. It's social engineering of some sort that's designed to get you to give away your phone numbers, your social security number, your credit card information, your banking information. It's usually an email of some sort, whatever that's about, that actually is designed to get you to answer them. You find a lot of eBay people are getting this sort of thing. Oh, there's a problem with your account. You need to log in, and they're nice enough to give you a link, which is really kind of nice of them. Yeah. They give you a link. Log in here and put in your username and password, and we'll fix everything for you. And then you do that, and maybe you're even brought to another page that says, oh, give us your credit card number, give us, you know, what your social, whatever they're giving you.
And these pages and emails look real. They have the real eBay logo on them, the real terms of service.
Well, they steal all the graphics from the original page.
Right, and I like ones I get from, sniffing for my AOL account. It says at the bottom, remember, AOL will never ask for your password. Please enter your password.
Exactly. One of the interesting, and of course, they're all fake. One of the interesting things is, I had several people call me this week about a bank. It doesn't matter which bank it was, because you're getting them from all of them. And my first question is, do you have an account at that bank? No. Then this probably is not real. I'd give it a 95 out of 100. Maybe
I have an account I forgot about.
Right, but then how would you know the username and password anyway?
Yeah.
Same thing with eBay. Same thing with all these places. In fact, I got a thing on my phone the other day. We changed our service. So about 4 days later, I get this text message, which I'm not even paying for text messages, but this was a free one. And it said, we've upgraded your service, dial pound something something and press 2. And I thought, right. So I called my cell phone provider, and the guy said, I don't know anything about this. And I'm in the middle of talking to him, we got cut off. So I called back, I got a different guy. He says, oh, yeah, if the number that you were asked to call is pound blah, 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 and you were asked to press 2, that's an upgrade to your service, and you'll hear a voice that'll say this, and then you press 2, and you'll hear this, and you get an upgraded service. And I thought,
wait a minute,
because there are phishing and virus scams for cell phones now.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I was, in fact, calling my provider, so I knew I was talking. I mean, I called them. I was talking to them. But apparently the first guy was just some,
hadn't heard about that offer yet.
Somebody who didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't called a second guy, I would now have lesser service.
One of the ways that you can help prevent and protect yourself from these type of attacks is look at the address you're clicking. On almost every...
We're all dead.
Our board was dead.
Better.
Thank you. Most every email program or web browser will show you the address you're clicking on. So instead of clicking on the underline that says sound bites, for example, you can see what the address is, a series of numbers. If that link is a series of numbers, you know, 192.168.something, and not Citibank.com or eBay.com, for example, right. That is almost definitely 99.99% a scam.
Right.
Because big companies have names, not numbers.
One of my tips this past week, that's what I did, is for folks that want to check it out that are using Windows XP or Windows 2000, there's a utility that you can literally put in the address or the website, and it'll tell you. So if you check out my tips.
Yeah, you can go to what's called a Whois server. We'll tell you who that address is.
Right, right.
With Windows XP, all you got to do is go to Start, Run, type in NS Lookup.
Yep.
Right.
And then type in the web address or those numbers,
right.
And it'll tell you.
But if you see an address there, sometimes yeah. they get a little sneakier. It's eBay dot, you know, something dot RU, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it may look like, you know, it's a real address. And that's what the social engineering is. You have to look at that address fairly close.
So the point is this. If you were walking down the street and somebody came up to you and said, oh, I'm from your bank, would you give me your credit card number, please, so we can verify some information, would you do it? No. Then why do you do it in your email? You get something like that, the first thing you do is call your bank and ask if it's legitimate. It's really not hard to protect yourself. You just have to think about it. You know, we're really kind of conditioned. The stuff we read, I read it in the newspaper. I heard it on the radio. I saw it in the thing. Sometimes you got to stop and think. When it comes to you in your email, stop and think.
There have been scams going around for years, and I've seen them on old police shows. We are programmed to obey signs.
Yes.
So someone will put a box outside a bank that says, put deposits here.
Yeah.
And come back in the morning and collect all the deposits. We are programmed to obey signs.
Well, there were the guys who took, a bunch of guys took an ATM machine.
I like this one. You admire the ingenuity.
It's great.
They actually bought a real ATM machine.
A real ATM machine. And they programmed it so you put your card in and you put your PIN number in and it sat out of service. By the end of the day, they collected thousands of PIN numbers and credit card numbers.
They put a few $1,000 in it, and so it looks like it's working.
They could have given money, but they did. It said out of service. And they collected all this stuff, and people didn't know for the longest time.
And then went on a $6 million shopping spree.
Right, right. One of the places that I go has, next door, there's just a place that says, ATM. All the sign says.
It's really big now in convenience stores to have a small ATM.
Right, but it doesn't say, you know, courtesy of some bank sign. It just says ATM, three little letters. You go in this thing, it's a completely generic ATM machine. It's been there for years, and I still haven't worked up the guts to stick my credit card in it. I won't do it. What?
Haven't braved it yet?
I haven't braved it yet. I have to admit I'm a coward when it comes to that stuff.
We're seeing a lot of that pop up in little convenience stores. And, you know, it's convenient to have an ATM handy. And it's a revenue source
for the
store.
You can say to somebody, you know,
yeah.
They ought to know whether or not that's legit. So
But
this is in a little plaza, and it's just a little storefront.
We were in Toronto once, just walking down the street on a Sunday afternoon, and we see two guys with power tools working on an ATM. And we thought about it, but we thought about finding a cop. And
did they have an arc welder on?
Right. Are you sure they're supposed to be working on an ATM on a Sunday? A little strange there.
Yeah, right.
Well, getting back to what you were saying before, also most banks have a policy that they will never email you.
Right.
Which makes it all the more suspicious if you do get an email from a bank, right. Even if it happens to be your bank.
Because of all these scams, most of the companies are never going to email you anymore.
Right.
God knows, the banks have all my information. You know, if I get stuff in the mail all the time from my bank, and whenever, you know, if they say, oh, we've got an account problem, they'll usually say, please come in.
Right.
Because they don't know who's at the other end of the line. Wow. They're not going to risk some jamoke getting hold of my stuff and calling in and saying, I need to change the PIN.
During my news part, I got such a story that is going to shock a lot of people.
There you go.
I get a lot of that also, and it's annoying when you're trying to do it legitimately, but people will call internet provider tech support lines. I host a forum on AOL, so I have a privileged account it's part of the volunteer program,
right.
Community leaders. So people will call AOL saying, "Hi, I'm Steve Ray. You know, I forgot my password. Can you give me the password?" And three times in the last year, they have.
They have what? They just gave away your password blind over the phone.
Yeah, well, most internet providers have...
But you jamoke.
Right. Most internet providers have security codes. You know, what's your mother's maiden name? In fact, my security code was who's the...
Don't tell us.
The Secretary of State. Well, it isn't anymore. Who's the Secretary of State? And so, you know, I went back through all the Secretaries of State, and someone had put Pee Wee Herman in as my answer. So since my answer didn't... So when I'm calling to fix my account, my answer doesn't match what my profile says.
Right,
because
right.
It's already been fished.
Right, right, right. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Andrew...
Welch.
And I'm sorry. I'm fine, okay. A couple of guys from Ambrosia Software. We're going to talk to them. It's going to be great. We have the lovely and talented Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen. We have people waiting on the line. It's going to be a very exciting segment. Be back shortly on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hi there, welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm John.
Andrew Welch.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Now, before we get back to the phones, and Bob and Kathy and Fred and Mike are all patiently waiting, we want to talk about John and Andrew here and why they're sitting there. They didn't just wander off the streets. We generally don't allow that, but
us there was free coffee here.
Yeah, there's free coffee, and you get to look at Dave and Steve right, actually physically in the face. And
that's amazing.
And here's Rob Linton in person. It doesn't get better than that.
Professional.
We've got John on the camera, but Nick and Andrew have to sort of squeeze
in. Not a problem. these gentlemen are from Ambrosia Software, and if you don't know about Ambrosia Software, man, are you missing it. It's at ambrosiasw.com. We'll put up that link on our website. And they make software for mostly the Mac, but also there are a couple of PC things that they do. Why don't you guys tell us a little bit about the company?
Well, it was a company I founded a number of years ago, actually while I was still in college, and we make mostly games, utilities. We call the utilities productivity software, and call the games anti-productivity software.
Yeah.
Small company, we have 9 people. We work with a large number of people under contract all over the world, artists, musicians, developers. I'd say probably 80% of our stuff is entertainment, games, maybe 20% utilities.
Yep, and the stuff you've got on the website, it's like Gooball and a Parian X, or is that a Parian 10?
Whatever you like, whatever makes you feel good.
Well, that's the Mac format. They do have a few PC.
Yep, we're primarily a Mac shop just because that's what we do. But a number of our games we also ported to Windows.
Eevee Nova,
yep,
the skate
Nova.
That's a good
one.
Look at that one for my grandchildren.
And Gooball is a new release.
They just released it.
That's why we're looking a little tired today, as we just released it last week, and getting stuff out the door is a nightmare.
Hitting crunch time, and then now it's party time.
Especially when the developers are in Copenhagen, Denmark, and you've got to stay up in order to talk with them.
Whoa.
It's real interesting.
Right, because at 3 in the morning, they're emailing you guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is that, like a 7-hour, 8-hour?
6-hour time difference.
6?
Yep.
Right. Oh, that's amazing.
I should also mention they had a real neat coup a few years ago. Apple started bundling one of their programs with every Mac that was sold.
Yeah, they've done it a few times. They've bundled, we've got a utility product called Snaps Pro X that it basically lets you, it's sort of like a video camera for your screen. Anything that's going on your screen, you can record as a movie that people can look at later. It's used a lot for, actually, I believe RIT uses it for their classrooms to record lesson plans. You know, instead of a guy printing out syllabus sheets for, say, how to use Flash, they'll record movies of it with him talking over it so the student can, you know, play it back and sort of work on it as they do it. And that is something that Apple bundled, and we've also got a game that they bundled, and hopefully another one soon, too.
Cool.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
They even brought some shirts to give away.
Oh, shirts!
We brought shirts and hats and
cool.
If you guys don't steal them all, we might give them away to some people. Whatever.
Well, all right, we get first crack the on.
All right,
I'm a big fan of hats and shirts. Although I don't get to wear shirts so much anymore. My daughter steals them, every shirt I own. I have a great shirt that says, only visiting this planet. I haven't seen it in years, except on my daughter.
I like my broccoli is evil t-shirt.
All right, listen, we're going to go to the phones now. And all those of you listening in, if you have any specific questions for the Ambrosia folk, you're probably not going to tell us what you're working on next, are you?
Oh, we might talk a little bit about it.
All right, we might talk a little bit about that later. We're going to do that after the break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, John and Andrew and Rob Linton and Bob and Kathy and Fred and Mike and me and Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Vincent Mott,
Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm John Champlin.
I'm Andrew Welch.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. I promise you we'll talk to the Ambrosia Software folks again, but let's get to the phones. Our first caller is Bob from Fairport. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Yes, Nick. I'm having problems with Internet Explorer 6.0 with SP1 in accessing certain websites. It just started recently. I run your Security Tango, AVG, Adware, and SpyBot. Mm-hmm. And the other day, I got an error message from AVG that said it could not convert the server name to the IP address.
Okay.
Now, sometimes it will take me to certain sites.
Yeah.
And other times, I just get the plate, you know, the display that the page can't be displayed.
What you might also be running into, and this is becoming a growing concern. Matter of fact, one of the stories that I was reading just this week, and I'm seeing this more and more as a trend. I mean, Adware and SpyBot do their darndest to keep up with all the stuff. You know, and that's why we recommend those two utilities. They're safe ones that we know we can recommend, and it's not going to do damage to people's machines. But quite often, and it's becoming more and more an issue, that these two aren't getting it all. Now, another one that you can safely use is CW Shredder. Is another utility that also gets rid of some of the other stuff that Adware and SpyBot don't. Because just like viruses, even though you know there's still viruses out there, that has slowed down greatly. What folks are really focusing on right now is spyware. That seems to be running very rampant. I'm seeing, you know, tons of it daily. There's not a machine that I don't that doesn't come into my shop that doesn't have spyware on it. I have yet to see it. Matter of fact, I modified my input form to reflect it because I got tired of writing out all the information. Now I just write in a total number. So try a utility like CW Shredder. There's another one that if you're computer savvy that you can run is Hijack This.
Well, that one's very dangerous if you don't know what you're doing.
Within Hijack This, the best thing I can say is to folks, if you're not sure about something, you know, quite often when you're running the Hijack This, if it says that it's missing or no name, you can safely check that and remove those. But there's a lot in there that you've got to keep. So it's not for the faint of heart. They're in the industry, they're really trying to, you know, get a good utility that can get rid of this stuff, but it's growing, you know, unbelievably fast that, you know, trying to keep up with it is just a full-time job.
And the reason we're leaning this way is that so many spy programs insert their own address in the middle of your web browsing. And a lot of the spy programs are from less than reputable companies. So if that company goes out of business or changes in some way, then the address right. they used to be doesn't work. So the spyware breaks and you get error messages.
Bob, let me suggest two things.
Uh-huh.
First, clean out your cache.
Okay.
But the second thing is to download and install Firefox.
I did that.
And can you get to the sites with Firefox?
No, it's doing the same thing. It's intermittent. It will let me go sometimes. Actually, the way I downloaded it, since Internet Explorer wasn't working, I had a friend download it, put it on a zip, and installed it on my computer. And that is also running the same issues.
Like I say, you might try CW Shredder and Hijack.
It could also be a physical problem with your machine or your cable. So I'd start by replacing the cable.
Which is easiest and cheapest.
Well, I'm looking at the things that are cheaper than trying to get Hijack This, which scares me. But try these things as well, because it could be a physical problem. I mean, it could actually be. Sometimes it is a physical problem.
He might have to run the utility. What he can do first.
What operating system are you running?
It's 98.
If you go to if you go to start run.
Sorry about that, guys.
That's okay.
No, go to start, go to run, and if you type in winipconfig, it will tell you whether you're getting a valid IP address. Right there off the, you know, right from the get-go, if you're getting a 169, That means you're not getting a valid IP address, and there's something messed up there.
It may also be an intermittent DNS error if he's getting errors that it can't find the address, the numerical address of a site.
Right. The only time that came up is when I went to update my AVG. I got that error message. It said it couldn't convert the server's name to an IP address.
He's got spyware in it.
It could. It's either spyware or there's a problem with your net connection. But I would certainly try the spyware, because that will solve any other problems you're having as well. Start there and let us know what that does. But it's very possible, one way or the other. Our next caller, Kathy from Hamlin, New York. Welcome, Kathy. What's your question?
Well, I have a problem with, and I'm running Windows 98 SE also. But all of a sudden, and it happens a lot when I'm going into Yahoo Messenger, my monitor screen will go black with a little blue box saying VGA mode not supported, and then it has numbers under it. And it's done it also when I'm not even at the computer. It'll suddenly go into it, and what happens is I have to restart the computer, and it says Windows wasn't shut down properly, right, and I have to use SanDisk. Do you know what might be causing that?
A couple of things can cause it. When did this start?
Well, it's a new monitor. It's a flat screen monitor that my husband gave me last year. It's an AOpen, and I tried calling the company, but unfortunately the gentleman that I spoke to was Japanese, and I couldn't understand of what he said, except that he couldn't help me.
Kathy, is it only in Yahoo?
No, as I say, sometimes I'm not even at the computer, and I'll notice that it's gone to it.
All right, what you're going to want to do is, if you go to the AOpen website, because you're running Windows 98,
right,
if you go to their website, and you're going to need to get the monitor, the drivers for that particular monitor.
Because you're trying to run a very new monitor on a relatively old computer.
Well, with an older operating system, too. I mean, Windows XP will automatically find it and no problem. It does plug and play.
I was going to say, because even though it's Windows 98, it is a new computer that we had built just a couple of years ago.
But still, go to their website. Go to AOpen's website.
Uh-huh.
And get the updated drivers for that monitor for Windows 98 SE.
Okay, so it is a driver issue.
Yes, it is a driver issue.
It probably wouldn't hurt to check the driver for the video card, too.
Now, I thought I did go to that site and didn't find anything. Is there a site where you can get drivers?
Tell you what, if you email me.
Okay.
And I'll find the link and then pass it on to you.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
All right. It's a generic driver forum and driver guide, but you have to pay to join it.
Right. We're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave and Steve and John and Andrew and Rob and Nick and Soundbites on Fred and Mike and Wayne and 1180 WHAM.
For over 15 years, it's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm John Champlin.
I'm Andrew Welch.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller, Fred from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Fred. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I have a Dell Dimension 2400. I'm running XP. And my first question is, what I did was load some digital pictures into my computer, and by mistake, I deleted them from the recycle bin. Now, I know you guys have been asked this many times.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any possible way of recovering them? Because this happened like months ago, and I've been trying several ways, like...
Immediately, if the second you realize you've emptied the recycle bin, you can run something like Money Race.
How long ago was this?
This was like months ago.
No they're way gone.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no way?
No. The problem is this. When you delete something, it doesn't really get deleted. It's just that the blocks are marked as writable. So until something is written to them, you can often recover them with a product like Norton's Undelete.
Well, is there
the very next file you save starts overwriting those files?
And the longer you have files writing to the drive, the more likely is they're all overwritten.
Well, that was going to be my question. How much is he written to it? Because I do have a utility, which I run. It was very expensive.
Yeah, it's very expensive and takes a very long time to run.
And, I mean, I've literally recovered stuff that was accidentally erased and everything else. But it depends on what time frame. I mean, I had one woman bring in a laptop, and she had been using it for 2 months and wanted me to get some old emails. But, you know, they had the disk was so small and the space was so small, the space got eaten up right away and I couldn't do anything for it. But right. There's been other cases where I have been able to get some stuff.
So the short of it here, Fred, is you can certainly bring your system down to a guy like Dave and have him look, but nobody's going to guarantee anything.
No guarantees.
And it's
going to
cost you money.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Commercially.
Where is Dave's shop located? What's it called?
Okay, I'm at 70 Empire Boulevard. And just to look at it, Nat, tell you what, we'd only charge you a diagnostic fee, but then if we figure out that we can get something off of it from you, then you know, then it's going to be a charge.
And his shop is called PC Enright PC Management.
NYPC Management.
Enright. Enright. Enright.
Enright PC, and we're at 70 Empire Boulevard, just a half mile up past Dan's Crafts off of 590.
At the very top of the Soundbites webpage is a link. So give him a call. Our next caller is Mike on a cell phone. Mike, you're pulled over to the side of the road, right?
Yes, I am.
That's what I like to hear.
Actually, sitting up here by East Ridge High School.
Oh, there you go.
I just want to say good morning, Nick, Steve, Dave, John, Andrew, and Rob. I hope I got them all.
Nice! Yeah. Better than I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got a suggestion for the first lady who had a monitor issue.
Yes.
I had the same issue with my grandfather's computer, and what it was the power supply.
Oh.
It would shut down, and then you think you have to restart it, and you push the power button when it cooled down. And then we'll come back on.
So
and
it's overheating.
Or the energy saving.
Correct. Well, that's the issue that I had with that one. I ran into that same problem.
Actually, now that you mention that, that jogs my memory. A few months ago, I had a similar problem, and the power supply fixed it.
Yep.
It looked like the computer was shutting off, but sort of. The green light stayed on, but the monitor said no signal.
What the key was is when it says, you know, you haven't shut this off properly, and it goes through everything else. That's what the key was. It gave me the idea is that it had to go through the scan.
Right, right, and in fact, because it's a flat panel monitor, it may well be, Kathy, that all you need to do is wiggle your mouse or hit the shift key or the space bar or something, and it might come back. Give it about 30 seconds and see if it comes back.
Go into this control panel and under energy saving, turn all those settings to never.
Yeah,
and save them.
Generally speaking, I have to say that energy saving in a desktop. Is not a good thing. It just doesn't.
Manually
it's not really designed
off.
To be do it. Right, yeah. Right. Okay, Mike, that was great. Thank you so much. Our next caller, Wayne from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Wayne. What's your question?
Okay, I have a couple real quick ones. I guess at least one's quick. One is I have Windows Home Edition, Windows XP Home, and when I go to start in programs, I get this balloon there that says something about all the programs can't be shown. Probably I can't read fast enough to get through it, but it says something about size of type size or something. Yet there's quite a bit of space actually at the end of the programs, and I get that all the time. So I don't know what that means.
Where do you, what? Okay,
when you go to start
a program, you click start.
Right. If I go to start and then all programs.
Yep. You can't see
there's
them
a
all?
Balloon that shows up there that says they're not all being shown, essentially.
That's absolutely normal. What that is Windows is designed to show you the most common programs that you're normally running. And if you look, you'll see at the bottom of the list of programs a down arrow. If you click that, you'll see the rest of the programs.
It usually says all programs or something
like
that.
Let's look. Well, I see a list there, and the last thing, there's no arrow at the last program.
Tell you what, if you go
not at the last program, but below the last program, there's another
button.
In that
column, right,
that
in
says
that
all
column.
Programs.
Yeah, there's nothing at that.
All right, what you
want
to do, Wayne, is if you go to our website, go to my tips, Dave's tips.
Yes.
And I have a tip on there for resizing those, so you can see them all.
Okay.
All right.
That's a simple one. All right.
There you go.
The next quickie is my daughter got a mini iPad, or iPad mini. And she's installed it a couple times, and I uninstalled it using the restore because I lose
all right, Wayne, you got to hold on. We got to take a break, but stay on the line. We'll come back to you in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Same Computer Show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm John Jamplin.
I'm Andrew Welch.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we have Wayne from Rochester on the line talking about an iPod Mini. Go for it, Wayne.
Yeah, my daughter installed an iPod Mini made by Apple. I'm not sure if this is Apple's way of jabbing Microsoft, maybe. But it takes the Windows Media Player out or disconnects it somehow, and QuickTime. So if I try and go on, click on something that should play back in email or whatever.
Yeah, what it does is it makes QuickTime the default.
I tried to play a CD the other day and wouldn't do it. So
because the iTunes program for controlling the Mini is designed to read your CD, and the iPod only runs with iTunes.
There is a question somewhere in the installation process that says, "Do you want QuickTime to be the your default player?"
That's correct.
You say no.
We tried that. Yeah, she pointed that out to me. I said, "Yeah, say no to it," and it still overrides it somehow. I don't know how it's doing it. And I went to Windows and downloaded the new, whatever the new media is. Is it like 10 or something?
Yeah.
And it still, I still couldn't get it to work. I could not play a CD in there.
You might have to change your file association for certain files.
If you open the CD on the desktop, left-click once on a song, and then shift right click on that same song, there'll be an open with command.
Well, now I'm talking about a movie. If I put a movie in there.
Well, same with that, too. Do the same thing.
iTunes doesn't play movies. QuickTime doesn't play.
No. I'm talking about if I put a movie in the PC.
A DVD movie.
Yeah correct.
Right. Neither iTunes nor QuickTime plays DVD movies.
But it might have changed the association.
Well, no, but I'm saying my PC, normally I would be able to put a DVD movie in there and I could play it.
Right. And again, try, you know, when you put the DVD in, it wants to know what to do with it. If you can say just explore and then look at that file.
Find the your Windows Media Player.
Yeah.
Because QuickTime will not play DVD movies under Windows. So that's not the problem.
No, but Windows Media Player should play it, right?
Right.
Yeah, but see, it's just not bringing it. Just somehow it.
Yeah, well, do what they said and give that a try. If it doesn't work, please let us know. Before we go on to the phones, and we have some folks on the line. Argyle's on the line. Jerome's on the line. Ron's on the line. But before we do that, Dave's got something he desperately needs to say.
You talk about, you know, you were talking about the fishing and everything else.
Right.
I mean, I heard a horror story, and this has been going on for a while, with identity theft and that. Right now, in Rochester alone, they're doing a major investigation on a bank. A number of employees have been fired, and I won't mention the bank in that, because they were selling identities. I have a personal friend.
You do?
That her mother's account was attacked, and a check was cashed in another city and state where the mother doesn't even live. And now, this friend of mine is now trying to go through the hassle of getting this money reinstated back into the account, because they've uncovered this whole ring of folks that were selling identities and then turning around, taking this information, going over to the web, filling out information for credit cards.
Sure.
Doing online shopping, all courtesy of these other folks that they stole the information from.
My boss had one of her credit cards stolen. She thinks at a restaurant, so it's nothing to do with the internet. But while she was trying to get things cleaned up, what really made us mad is the person that stole the credit card started buying gateways. Oh. All right, it was bad enough when you put the BMW on the credit.
But, I mean, this is becoming more and more of an issue, folks. Like I say, we can't stress enough. Viruses were enough of a problem, you know, in their heyday. They've sort of subsided a little bit. There's still a concern. But right now, the biggest thing going on the web that we're seeing a trend of is this identity theft, whether it's through the phishing or you're doing, you know, going to the bank and that, leaving information around or wherever.
Yeah, don't leave your ATM receipt in the ATM.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, you know, and these folks, you have to be very cautious on what you're doing.
Yeah, there's a lot of scams for ATMs and phone cards where someone across the street with binoculars watches you type in your PIN.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a big scam out there. So, you know, the users of the computers have to be wary. And also, you know, it's not a bad idea to once in a while check your credit rating. I mean, there's plenty of services in that that you can, you know, maybe once a year or that, get a free credit report just to stay on top of things, because it's, you know, you got to think of how you're going to feel if all of a sudden you get a call and we're applying for these credit cards, you know, and I didn't apply for them. And now you got to go through the hassle of trying to straighten out your own credit report, which had nothing to do with you.
Most banks have online banking now that you can log in, see your account information and whatnot. Don't wait for your monthly statement to come before you reconcile your account. I reconcile my account every couple of hours.
Yeah,
so I know when something is going wrong.
Some of these thieves are even doing just small things, hoping that people are going to overlook them.
$20 here, $30 there. You think your wife did something.
Yeah, scrutinize
your husband.
Very carefully, you know, shoppers beware.
Yep. All right, listen, if you're on the line, please hang on. We're going to do some great news, and then Connie Daly is in. I'm sorry, I just can't do names. But somebody's going to come in and do something, then some people are going to come back and do something else, and it's going to be something. Back in just a couple of minutes on the greatest computer show in the known universe, we're going to have Argyle and Jerome and Ron and John on the line. We're going to talk more with the Ambrosia software people. We're going to give some stuff away. If anybody's got a Mac question, we'll be giving stuff away. And we're going to do it all when we come back after the news on the greatest computer show in the known universe, and that would be Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
To America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm John Champlin.
I'm some other guy.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Just some guy.
And where's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM? We're going to get back to the phones in just a minute.
Well, we have to wish all our Druid listeners a happy vernal equinox.
It is. Yep. Today's the first day of spring. It's, you can tell if you look out your window.
Because
it's snowing. It's Rochester and it's snowing.
May all your sacrifices be clean.
Yep.
Exactly.
7:30 this morning. And we should point out that in 325 A.D., the Council of Nice decreed that Easter was to fall upon the first Sunday after the first full moon on or after the vernal equinox.
Exactly. And here it is. It's coming up.
What does it have to do with the Easter Bunny?
Coming up next week, everything. Because the Easter Bunny, if he sees a shadow, there's no Easter. Well, you know that. Easter's delayed for 6 weeks.
There's a picture of a bunny on here. It's the Roman goddess. What was its name? Her name.
Fornix.
Estre, Eostre, a Saxon deity. Life and fertility. So the Easter bunny being so, rabbit being so fertile was marked as a passage of fertility. So
for years I tried to get
vicious, nasty, no good, baggy eyed, marble headed, ignoramus.
So it wasn't that they used to sacrifice the bunny.
For years I used to try to get people to celebrate Fornicalia, which is a 30 day festival for Fornax, the goddess of the hearth.
Oh, I was thinking fornication.
Yeah. Of course you were, but that's not what it's about.
Festivus.
On it. One other thing. I got to apologize to anybody.
Anybody. Just anybody.
Well, that tried to email me off the Soundbites webpage. Our great friend Jerry Seward straightened that problem out. It wasn't until somebody tried to email me off that webpage, and I don't know how long it's been going on, but it was going off to BitHeaven. And since then, Jerry has straightened that issue out. So if you're going out the web Soundbites webpage and trying to email me, I will now get it.
Excellent. Oh, and that means, Steve, probably the thing I sent you last week, talk to me at the next break. Before we get back to our phones, we have Argyle and Jerome and Ron and John on the phone. But we want to talk to the Ambrosia software folks about. Now, you guys have a very different, I might say unique, way of developing software, right?
Yeah, actually, what we do is we develop our software and we put the demo versions, essentially, of it online. And then people can download it, try them out, you know, for whatever length of time they want. And then they need to pay for it in order to access the full features of it. So it's sort of, it's a full demo all rolled in, and if people decide they like it, they buy the software on its merits, and they can just come online, get an unlock code, and they're good to go.
Shareware.
Yep.
It's the shareware concept.
Yeah, and it's a concept that actually works. You know, we've been continually amazed over the years that Andrew supports a company and employees and buys toys like the rest of us.
And the bird.
And the bird. Yeah, I can't forget Hector.
Yeah.
On shareware fees. And we've kind of remarked over the years is that Mac shareware purchasers generally register their software more frequently.
Maybe that's
than
what
PC
one
ones.
Of the questions should be for one of the callers calling in, if they can tell what type of bird it actually is for a giveaway.
Well, then I can't tell my story.
Oh, well then.
Uh-oh, we got a story. No, we got a story. That's more important.
Yeah. Beautiful plumage.
Yeah. Plumage.
He's pining for the fjords.
Well, we actually, when we're selling our software, it isn't really technically shareware because people can't access the full game or the full program until they buy it. So it's not really pure shareware. But we credit a lot of the success to actually our bird, Hector. He's an African gray parrot, and he appears in a number of our games. And if people don't pay for the product, in one game, Escape Velocity, he comes in and shouts various insults at them and tries to demand that they pay and plunders their ship and takes their money and all that kind of stuff. And he actually is quite a mean bird in real life, too. We have him sitting in the office, and every now and again, we'll get people come in there, like the FedEx guy, who usually is, running from place to place, delivering packages. This one time, we had a FedEx guy come in, and he really wanted to talk to the bird. So we're sitting, he's dropped off the package. He's sitting there, this is a busy guy. He's like, Polly want a cracker? And the bird just looks at him. He's, hello? Hello? Just keeps on talking to the bird. The bird says absolutely nothing. He was in there for a good 25 minutes.
Soon with apologies to the next person on his route for the late package.
As soon as he shuts the door, the bird shouts an obscenity at the top of his lungs. And I know the guy heard it.
But, of course, he doesn't think it was the bird. He thinks it was you guys.
Probably.
Probably.
I mean, the bird is really kind of evil. We used to have a dog in the office, and the bird learned to imitate the owner's voice. And the bird would say, come here, Ulf. Come here, boy. And would whistle. And this is as a St. Bernard. It would shake the office as it ran down to see who wanted to play with it. And then the bird would laugh and go,
doesn't
do it all day long.
That's
funny. Doesn't he amazing? Yeah. I had an African gray up to a few months ago. But the number of folks that would come into the shop when I was down my other location, and they'll put their finger right there in front of the bird's face. Yeah.
No.
It's hello, this bird can crack
sharp
walnuts.
Yeah.
I would give Hector an almond just for a point of reference. Like, watch this, hand it to her, and the bird would just crack it in half. And it's like, your finger's a lot softer than that almond is.
But, years and years and years ago, I was doing this show for a guy, and he invited me to his house to talk about it, and they had a parrot. It was not a gray. It was very colorful. And it was, I don't know what it did. It hopped off its perch onto my shoulder and started ripping at my ear. And, of course, I'm trying to get a job with this guy, so I'm being polite and nice. And the guy's, oh, he really likes you. Oh, he doesn't ever take to anybody. And I was savaged. I was blood running down my shirt. And he goes, yeah, it's nice. Nice bird.
The exact same thing happened. Our bird took a chunk out of a friend of mine's ear one time. And actually, we attribute it to at one time, I took the bird to Kenny Rogers' roaster.
Yeah.
Be nice, or you're...
That's right.
Well, yeah, that was basically the idea. It was pretty cool. I put the bird on the steering wheel of my car, and as I would turn it, it would go, foot over foot and everything, which was great until it crapped on my leg. But
sure.
That's another story. But we took it in there and, showed him the rotisserie with all the birds in there. So, you better shape up or whatever. Right. The bird actually loves chicken.
And, oh yeah, mine did too.
Yeah, and I think cannibals. That's where it got its taste of flesh, and now it just will try to bite anyone that gets anywhere near it.
Reading Stephen King novels to it, right?
All right, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's coming up from Ambrosia Software? Now, these are all Mac titles, right?
That are in the works. We're also working on porting some of our products to Windows. We have a number of them for Windows as well, but we do primarily do Mac stuff. One of the games that we've got coming out is actually, we partnered with a company that did the Windows version of a game called Darwinia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really cool real-time strategy game that takes place in sort of a digital theme park. And actually, the PC version of that was just released, I believe, 2 weeks ago. They're the creators of a game called Uplink, and they've had some pretty good success. They've been interviewed in a number of magazines recently, and we're really looking forward to that game. It's really quite unique. You know, we're always working on a whole bunch of titles, some of which we let people know about ahead of time. Others we try and, you know, just spring on people. And
sure.
See if they're awake.
Sure.
Cool.
Very cool. If you've got any interest in games, utilities, great software, and I mean great software, you should check out AmbrosiaSW.com for some of the best software around, no question. Very nifty.
Handcrafted in Rochester.
Handcrafted
and
in Rochester,
it's easily the quality of the, you know, big games like Halo and World of Warcraft that you're paying $50, $75, $100 for. All these things are $25, $30. They're very, very affordable. And really amazing game.
And they're terrific stuff. If you're at all interested in either games or utilities, you need to check these people out. They're not only local, they're world quality.
What should we do as a giveaway question?
I don't know if we're going to have a giveaway question.
What's
we're just going to give stuff away. You got stuff that you just... We got shirts. We got a great hat. Nobody's getting this hat back.
Especially
it's
after you wore it.
Yeah, no one wants it now.
Are you having fun?
No.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Argyle, who's calling from Rochester, New York. Argyle!
How you doing, guys?
Good, how are you?
Good, good, good. Look, I have been victimized, sodomized by Captain Hector. I can't tell you how much. You know, these guys make absolutely great games. If there's one problem with the Mac, it doesn't have an awful lot of game authors out there, and these guys are superb.
Well, yeah, we like to say there may be more games on the PC, but there's better games on the Mac.
There you go. There you go.
Well, if you ever want to come in and take your revenge on the bird, we got him locked in a cage. You're welcome to come in and
I don't want to get anywhere near that thing. I think he'll pick my wallet again.
So, Argyle, I think you need either a shirt or a hat. Which do you prefer?
Hey, I'll take... Well, I don't know. Hey, well, I'll tell you what. Why am I on the phone? Hold them up to the show cam, and I'll tell you.
Oh, now you're getting picky.
Where are you? Over at Spin?
Unbelievable.
No. I'm at home.
You're at home?
The shirt's got the logo, big logo, very nifty.
And on the front, it says Alchemists of Amusement.
Very nice. Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah, the front made it up.
And
the back is too small to read.
Yeah.
That's cool. No, I'll take the shirt.
Okay.
Well, yeah. What size?
Yeah, what size you need?
Yeah, what size?
We probably need a large or an extra large.
Oh, there's
like
an extra large there. So.
Excellent.
Okay, that's yours. So when we're done talking, hang on. Rob will take your information, and then you get to... Here's how you pick it up, though. You have to go down to Dave's shop.
Oh, no problem.
Okay, no problem.
I can do that.
Anybody who wants one, that's how you get it. You go down to Dave's shop and pick it up.
Look at a question.
You guys still on Washington
guys.
Street?
You know, I'm a Maelstrom Escape Velocity EV Override EV Nova guy. Well, you got another one coming up?
Yeah, actually, just this week we released a game called Gooball.
Yeah, I just downloaded it.
Yeah, that was our most recent release, and that's been doing quite well. It's a lot of fun. It's a really kind of bizarre game. A lot of people have asked us what kind of illicit substances the developers were on. It's a lot of fun. You're an alien that you roll around in a ball of protoplasm that you can deform and go sticky and climb up walls and all sorts of fanciful environments that you run around in. It's pretty wild.
Cool.
Looks pretty cool.
We at the Cider Users Group used to go to Andrew's office and fold our newsletters, back in newsletter folding time. And we went there because, you know, we have to stop. It's a great company. We have to stop working and play a game now.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But one folding party, Andrew had this really great triple Bock, and the post office rejected our mailing because the labels were too crooked.
Yeah.
We had to go down and relabel every single one of them.
Another game that I just mentioned it earlier that's coming out is from the authors of Uplink. It's called Darwinia, and that's in final testing. It's a really neat real-time strategy game, and one of the unique things about it is to control the game, you actually use gestures with your mouse. You kind of draw them to issue various commands, and it's really quite stunning. It's got a really nice look and feel to it.
Very addictive, too. Cool. I gotta say that. I had to test it out, and I've been finding myself playing it more and more and more. I'll take another 5 minutes to play this game, and another 5 minutes.
You're still not getting a raise, John.
Well, hundreds of my hours have gone to playing your games with just another 5 minutes. Just another 5 minutes.
Yeah. Just another 5 minutes.
That's what we like to hear. A little digital crack. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Look, I actually got a Mac question.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I've got a friend who has an iBook.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I know. Give me Stack Overflow.
Which model?
Yeah, what color is it? Yeah, that becomes the question now. What color?
It's white.
It sort of tells us what generation
it is. One of the white, the newer ones.
Yeah.
It's white. It's one of the newer ones.
Yep.
He was running the thing in target disk mode.
Okay.
Okay. And when he was done, now the thing will not even a startup gong. Could this be a dead?
Could be. We lost you again for a minute. Stop pushing that button, Rob.
Do not push the red button.
Okay, it's an iBook. He was running the book in target disk mode.
Mm-hmm. Which, okay. for our listeners, that's turns your computer into a hard drive, so then you can really easily copy data from to another computer.
And if you're using big files, it is the single best thing on the Mac.
Much faster than Ethernet.
It's just amazing.
All right, you got an answer for him?
I got a couple more questions, and I might be able to help him.
In that case, you're going to have to wait till after the break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, John, Andrew, Rob, me, Nick Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 W. Oh, I got a last name, WHAM.
Each year,
Computer Show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
All right, we're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm John Champion.
I'm Andrew Welch.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we had Argyle on the line. Is he gone or is he still there?
No, I'm Argyle.
He's so still there.
I got a question for you. It's Andrew. When he starts up the iBook, does the screen come on at all?
No, nothing comes on.
And this
it's almost like the power's dead.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if a frozen up hard disk will do this, or will you get some indication of?
You should still get a chime and light up, and then
screen should come on.
Yeah,
yeah.
A couple of things we're thinking is try zapping the PRAM. Command option PR until it chime. Well, to see if it'll chime a few times.
If the screen won't even turn on, it's probably
hardware.
Yeah.
There is a logic board recall repair extension, Apple calls it, on certain models of the white iBook for video problems where the video won't come on. You can go on Apple's website, and we have links on our website too. At the bottom of Apple's front page, there's a link to the iBook repair extension, and see if the serial number falls within the range. Even if the computer is out of warranty, they will repair the logic board for this specific problem.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely sounds to me like a hardware issue. I'm assuming that this thing is plugged in when he tries to boot it.
Right, correct.
Yeah, I mean, if it won't even turn on, it sounds to me like the computer was either defective or, you know, when he was in target disk mode, somehow there was a short and it fried the motherboard. Yeah. It's the only thing
I
can think of.
I've seen a couple of times where coming out of target disk mode, the computer forgets its startup disk and you get a flashing question mark.
Yeah, then it would at least boot, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely nothing.
So. Sounds
okay,
like
guys,
hardware.
I'll let you get on to some other callers. Dave, I'll be by to pick up the shirt.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have fun.
Give them a couple of days to get stock in. But
yeah, right.
Well, they got a couple.
Yeah. Sure.
Our next caller is Jerome, also on a cell phone, parked by the side of the road. Right, Jerome?
I am actually sitting on the Thruia Service Plaza. I didn't want to get out of range for you guys.
There you go. Awesome. What's your question?
I'm computer illiterate here, and I'm computer delirium. I'm having mad problems with a brand new laptop that I purchased through the software, you know, put it together for me, and referenced me to these guys as being, you know, credible and smart and what they were doing. I don't believe they're on their side.
Looks like you're almost out of range because we're
yeah,
losing
Jeremy,
you.
You're really,
Jerome.
Yeah, Jerome, you're
we're losing you. Are you there?
Am I better yet?
That's a little better.
You hear me
okay.
Now.
I'm you tell me the best spot. Here we go. This is as good as it's getting.
This is
okay.
Good.
Go.
All right, here's my dilemma. Had an old laptop, had problems with it. They cloned all my hard drive to a new laptop.
Yep.
I literally lifted the laptop, you know, from one location to another location, put it down, and got a hard error. Tried rebooting the computer, went into DOS mode saying system, you know, has problems, brought it back to the guys. They said my whole registry is wiped out. They redid everything, downloaded everything. Same thing happened again. Don't know where to turn. They don't know where to turn.
You
ready to tell them, give me a whole new computer.
Yeah, that would work.
Well, you might have a bad hard drive or memory stick in that new laptop. Is the laptop under warranty?
Yes.
Take it back.
It's got to be either the hard drive or the memory. Could be the memory's loose. Could be the hard drive connector is loose. But I would suggest they replace them.
They'll have to test them both.
It's also possible.
The hard drive and what was the other part?
Memory.
It's also possible one of the files they're copying over from your old computer is corrupted and corrupting the new computer as well.
Right. If they're moving over from like 98 to XP and they're moving over the registry, that would be bad.
Well, I think he actually said they cloned the hard drive.
Everything on the hard drive and then use the same operating system, Windows 2000 Professional.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. Then it's got to be the hard drive or the memory.
Like I say, I've seen memory do this too, where it could be flaky memory. And even though I've cloned systems over, and then you put it back into the new system, it won't boot.
Especially in a laptop that moves around a lot. It's easy for the RAM sticks to wiggle their way loose.
Yep. Yeah. So have them check both the hard drive and the memory.
Awesome, guys. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Good luck. Get back on that thruway and drive safely. Our next caller, John, from Rochester, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Oh, boy, you guys can save the day because my son asked me last night if I would fix his computer for him, and I don't know how.
But no pressure.
Okay.
It's usually the other way around. The parents need the kids to fix their computer.
Yeah. Okay, here's what we got. My brother built a PC clone for my son, and he downloaded some sort of DVD ripping program, and it's kind of screwed up his computer. Well, I'm getting now, every time Windows starts up, we get Windows Installer trying to install the program, but it's not there. And I'm at the computer right now, and the screen says, you know, Easy CD and DVD Creator 6, the feature you're trying to use is on a CD-ROM or other removable disk that is not available. Insert the disk, and I hit cancel, and no valid source could be found for the product, and it just keeps trying to install it, but it's not there.
You're trying to do Easy Creator with Windows XP?
Well, that's what he was trying to do, yeah. But the program's not here, but it keeps trying to install it.
Well, the thing that is, though, it sounds like it tried to, and the version 6, if I remember correctly, didn't work with XP, and you had to go to a newer version.
Yeah, you may have to put the EasyC Creator disk back in, let the install finish, because it's going to keep asking you until that install finishes.
Yeah.
Well, we never had the program on disk. I don't know where he got this from.
Well, it's most likely illegal. Your best bet at this point is to shut down the installer.
In msconfig.
Which you can do through, what you want to do is you want to click start.
Yep.
Run. msconfig. That's all one word. msconfig.
Yep.
Hit enter and it'll come up. And what you want to do is go into startup and you'll find something that clearly is this program trying to install itself. Uncheck it.
Okay.
Give it a shot and let us know how you make out.
Now, the other thing is, it's also, there's some sort of software conflict because now the sound doesn't work.
Well, you've got a couple of problems here. One is he's clearly trying to install illegal software on your system.
Which, by its very nature, is often not written very well.
Yep.
Right. And so, consequently, it may have screwed up some other things. What you need to do is to get rid of this thing to begin with. Get the security tango and then reinstall the sound drivers for your sound card. Reinstall the sound card.
And it is possible that CD Creator may have come bundled with the computer. And the specific function of it, the direct disk access, what was the name of it?
He built this as a clone, though. So clearly
it's not something bundled.
He's using somebody else's software.
But there is a piece of Creator that's built into Windows XP, direct CD access, and which allows you to randomly copy files onto a CD rather than authoring them. And that function is built into XP. But it shouldn't be asking you for the rest of Creator unless someone tried to install it.
Well, and illegally, like I said. So you need to get rid of that, and you need to reinstall your sound card. That at least get you back to where you were, and then maybe you ought to look to somebody else about getting this thing updated or fixed next time you need it done. Our next caller is Bill from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
I have Roadrunner, and I'm running eTrust, EasyArmor.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the firewall and the antivirus. And recently, and unexplainably, I started getting a pop-up. But it was popping up to the eTrust website. I wouldn't even be on the web. I'd just be turning my computer on, working on something like Microsoft Word, and all of a sudden a web page opens up to eTrust.
Is it asking you to buy something? An ad for eTrust?
Well, it's the It looks like it's their main web page where, you know, you would upgrade. You know, I just have it downloaded through Roadrunner.
Maybe it's telling you there's an update available and suggesting that you install it.
It did. It's not asking me to install any updates or anything. I mean, it looks like an ad, like a pop-up ad, but it's a pop-up for eTrust. I thought that was kind of weird.
It is kind of weird, unless it's the splash page for eTrust. Is it actually coming up in your browser, or is it its own separate window?
It's coming up as a web page through Explorer. It's as if I had clicked on Explorer and went to their web page.
Have you danced a tango?
Not yet, no.
Do it.
Start dancing, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, start dancing.
I heard you mention, my girlfriend has kind of a similar problem, too. I heard you mention a couple other SpyBot search and destroys besides...
Try another one to safely use is CW Shredder.
And I've got CW?
CW Shredder.
There's a link on our website at soundbites.org.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
All right, thank you.
I was reminded me of a question that I had. I had a customer with
call in the show.
Right, yeah. put me up there next, Rob.
Our next caller, Steve from in the studio.
Yeah, I've got two machines, one running XP Pro, one running 98. And the XP Pro is hosting a printer, trying to share a printer on their network. Mm-hmm. The 98 machine can't see the printer. It can get to the internet fine. If I shut down the EasyTrust firewall, then everything prints okay. I can't find anywhere in the EasyTrust interface how to open for LAN file and printer sharing.
Do they have a router hub?
They have a router hub.
Then get rid of the EasyShare.
Yeah, that was my temporary solution. You don't need a firewall on the local computer. It's nice to block outbound ports,
yeah, but
too.
Yeah, but the thing that is that you can try Zone Alarm.
There's supposed to be a way. Well, Roadrunner is giving away the EasyTrust.
Yeah, but that doesn't catch it all. I've seen where stuff has gotten by that.
There's supposed to be a way in the firewall to allow programs to use certain functions.
Yeah. Well, you have to open up the port.
Yeah.
What one thing you can do, there are programs out there that will let you look at the traffic that's coming in and out of your computer. Etherpeak is one, and there are some others, and you can just see what UDP ports or TCP ports are being pinged by it.
Right. Well, unfortunately, I'm used to the opening port numbers on the Mac, but this EasyTrust opens program names. What is the name of the Windows program that serves file and printer sharing?
Spool 32 is the printer spool. But the program that opens it up, it's a port.
It's one of the service, Windows service hosts.
Right.
So it's something pretty generic that looked like was open.
No, I found folks having the same issue. Yeah. And the easiest thing is I just put them on Zone Alarm. Zone Alarm works.
Yeah.
And sits there and it won't interrupt your intranet.
Right. And that's part of the annoyance of it. It's the intranet sharing. I don't want anything blocked on my intranet.
The only other thing to do is take it off and let the router handle the problem.
Well, what a lot of other firewall software will let you do is you can just enter in addresses that all ports are okay. I don't know the software. I would feel remiss.
Yeah, but then what's the point of a firewall?
No, I mean for
a LAN address.
Internal.
Right, yeah. Internal. I kind of, after hearing all of the problems people are having with spyware and adware and virusware and all that registry stuff, as a Mac OS X user, I would feel remiss if I didn't mention that these problems don't really exist. There are no viruses, no adware,
but,
no spyware.
But I always caution and remind the Mac people they should be running an antivirus program because you share files or send emails with Windows people, and it makes you a good net citizen to run that antivirus.
And run a firewall, too, just to be safe.
It was a big article in Wall Street.
It's not that there aren't any viruses and problems. There are very, very, very few.
I don't know of any OS X viruses.
Right.
There was one Trojan horse that we don't feel sorry for the guy.
With
the Microsoft Word. He said he was downloading a Microsoft Word demo that was only 100K, and Word.
Yeah, right.
Word hadn't been released yet, but he was downloading the demo, and it erased his home directory. So we almost don't feel sorry for him because he knew what he was doing. Yeah. But, there was a really interesting article in Wall Street Journal a few weeks ago. Walt Mossberg, their technology columnist, the title was 60,000 Reasons to Use a Mac. And it's because of the 60,000 Windows viruses that don't affect the Mac.
Right, right. Our next caller, Jim from Syracuse, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Peachy. How are you?
If I was any better, I'd be two people.
Exactly.
You guys have done me a couple of good turns. I thought I'd return the favor.
Oh, I love this part. Go ahead.
I have found the coolest website I have ever seen in my life. It's the one for the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Oh, yeah.
They have live streaming video of their Shark Tank, their Penguin Cam, and Otter Cam. And these guys have got the biggest stingray I've ever seen in my life.
What's the URL?
It's the size of their hammerheads.
Wow.
Cool. What's the URL?
Let's see, www.m, like Michael, Bay, AQ.org. / E like Edward, F like Frank, C like Charlie, / EFC again, _, S like Sam, M like Mike, M like Mike, /, SMM again,
Cam. The mmbaq.org, and then in the bottom left, there's a button that says View Our Live Webcams.
Yeah, that's probably bad.
That would have been too easy.
Yeah.
Anybody could have done that.
Yep.
But that is the coolest thing, and it's on from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. their time, West Coast. So, but I mean, it's really neat. And the Penguin Cams are hysterical because...
I love it. With all of us on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Answering your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm John Champlin.
I'm Andrew Welch.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Back to the phones in just a minute. We've got Dave and Scotty and Phil and Bob on the line. But before we do that, I want to talk just a little bit about our website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you.
What happened to the title on the poll?
What happened to the title on the poll?
There's no title on the poll.
Well, that's what everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be dipped. I don't know what happened to the title poll. I'll fix that tonight.
Kind of figured it out what you were asking, but...
Okay. Well, a lot of people are complaining about that in the opinion side, and I thought that was...
Yeah, there's no title.
They were asking about what the title was of the question for the opinion side. I never saw that.
And you call yourself a computer expert.
I'm an idiot. And when I put these things up at 11:30 at night, listen, my daughter is, it's March Madness. My daughter is 13 years old this month, and she's stretching out her birthday for the whole month. And last night we had eight 13-year-old girls spending the night. And I'm shocked I even got a poll up.
You're a brave man.
I spent the entire night going, shut up down there and go to sleep. Shut up. Go to sleep. Get out.
What are you on, bad drugs? You think you're going to get a bunch of 13-year-olds to settle down?
Yeah. And,
what have you been drinking?
Well, the good part was to get them up this morning, I just let the puppies loose.
Oh.
That worked. Revenge. That worked. And they weren't mad because even though they only had a few hours sleep, it was puppies.
Yeah, puppies. You can't argue puppies.
I don't know how you beat that. So I apologize. I will fix that. But last week's poll was about...
Let's make a pie.
Last week's poll was about mice. What mouse do you use? Mises, moose, mice. And we had 471 people vote, making it number 11 on the all-time hit list. The winner was optical. By 59% of people had an optical mouse. I'm very surprised. I think that's great, but I'm surprised it wasn't the plain old ball type, which came in with 21% of the vote.
Well, your listeners are much more sophisticated than that.
Yes. This week's poll has no name, but should be, what antivirus software program do you use? The choices, I put a lot of choices in here for Mac people and PC people and everybody in between, including Nothing, I'm Going Commando. So far, we have 101 votes, 106 votes. Norton is winning. Followed by AVG, which pleases me, followed by McAfee and eTrust, and not much else.
Yeah, Nick, it's a good thing this is radio, because I'm going commando.
I'm going commando, absolutely. So that's what that's about. And when you're done with that, you'll see at the bottom of that poll, there's a yellowish box. If you click in the Leave Us Your Opinion, it'll take you to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com.
Don't!
Every week, it's something new and
I love it.
And rude. And I will fix the title of the poll at some point, probably not right away when I get home because I'll have kids to deal with. But I will fix it. We've got 16 people who've put their stuff in right now. So please join us. We've got some great stuff going on, and you need to do that. But we're going to get back to the phones.
I'm going to say, and for Mac users, you do need to run an antivirus, as we mentioned earlier, to keep yourself clean of Windows viruses.
Exactly.
We were upgrading a customer this week from an old Mac to a new Mac, and part of the process was backing up their data on their hard drive. And our Norton antivirus we have in our office went, bing, Windows virus, bing, Windows virus, bing, Windows virus.
Right. And while it can't do anything to your system, it's taking up space, and you might be forwarding it to other people.
Yeah, if you pass it on to someone else,
that's the worst
you
part.
Can affect them.
Right. All right, our next caller is Dave from Victor, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Yes, I called last week. I have a Mac Performer 6200 CD, and it won't power up from the keyboard unless I take the motherboard out and then reinstall it. Then it'll power up from the keyboard.
Right. I think we suggested trying a new battery.
Yeah, well, I bought a new battery and put it in, and I had it checked. It's 4.6 volts, and reset the logic board, and nothing else seems to help.
Well, the only other thing I could suggest is that's a relatively old machine. The power supply is something that generally will go on machines that are that old.
Even though I pull the motherboard out and put it back in, it starts every time?
Well,
it's something in the power management chip, the PMU chip, or probably the CUDA chip on a machine that old, that controls how power passes through the system. And resetting the logic board, pulling it out and putting it back in, resets that power manager.
Yeah, well, it even starts up when I don't reset the logic board by pushing the button.
So you're saying just from the keyboard it won't start up?
It won't start up from the keyboard or from the back of the machine.
Well, from the back of the machine, now which one is the real power switch that's actually connected to the machine?
It's the one on the keyboard.
No, that's a software power switch that sends a signal on the ADB bus.
And the one on the front of the machine?
On the back of the computer is a physical button that is also electronic that activates the power supply.
And there the one in the front?
There isn't one on the front on this
machine. Yeah, there is no hard power switch on this model. All the power switches are electronic.
So it could be a bad keyboard. It could be that the keyboard itself...
That's a good point.
Do you have access to another keyboard?
Well, that could be, except that when I take the motherboard out and put it back in, it powers up from the keyboard.
Oh, it does then?
Yeah.
Maybe it's still, it could be maybe the ADB controller on the motherboard.
Yeah.
It's likely the power management chip.
Yeah.
There's a 6502 running power management. And for those in the computer industry for a while, the 6502 was the main central CPU of the entire Apple II computer. And now on the Mac, it's used to monitor the power.
Right. But it does sound like there's an actual motherboard problem. I hate to say that, but that's what it sounds like. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with all of us answering your questions. We've got Scotty and Phil and Bob still on the line, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave and Steve and John and Andrew and Rob and Nick and you and me and Bobby McGee just on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Wham's Michael Savage.
Who did you vote for last November?
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm John Champlin.
I don't know who I am.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We're going to go back to the phones and talk to Scotty in Canandaigua. Welcome, Scotty. What's your question?
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you. Well, I don't have a question with a black and white answer. I'm running Windows XP. I'm a young fellow. It's just a hobby. I'm 81 years old.
God bless you.
Yeah, I feel it some days. And I like to do some image manipulation. I find Adobe a little bit too rich for my blood. Somebody suggested I try the GIMP.
Sure. Well, there's actually two products from Adobe. One is horribly expensive, and one is reasonable. Photoshop is the premier image editing program that all the pros use, but $700 is out of the range of most home users.
Right.
Photoshop Elements is under $100, and that gives most of the basic things that home users need. But yeah, the GIMP or UrfanView would be two really great programs.
What about the GIMP? You got it?
Yes, I've downloaded it, and I've downloaded the owner's manual, but I'm having trouble using it because it keeps saying the help facility is not loaded. So every time I look for help, I don't get it. Any comments would be appreciated.
Well, that's interesting.
Help isn't running. Windows Help or GIMP Help, I wonder.
It's got to be GIMP.
Is it part of an optional install that you didn't install when you put the program on your computer?
Yeah, I think it's a separate download. I'm just looking. Binaries for GIMP.
Yeah, if it's open source software, probably the help is very optional. So you'll probably have to download that independently.
Yeah, I'm just looking. It looks like you need to go back to the website and download the documentation that's separate. And there is a set of help files that would also be separate, and you do need, again, to download those separately and install them. I'm sorry.
You may also find a PDF-type manual, too.
Right, right. Our next caller is Phil from Rochester, New York. Phil, what's your question?
Hi, guys. Happy first day of spring to you.
Thank you. You too.
Two real quick ones. The first one, I'm running a Windows XP home with Roadrunner. I've got Easy Antivirus and Firewall, but I also have AVG, which I've had for a long time. Is this redundant? Should I just get rid of one of them?
You should get rid of one or the other. Absolutely.
Okay, maybe I'll get rid of AVG because...
Whatever.
Okay, doesn't matter. Second question. I've got... I like to go to websites where I can decide whether I want to buy records or songs or albums, CDs, and if I clip on the audio clip to get a one-minute streaming piece of music, Windows Media Player comes up and then tells me that I can't connect for some reason. Is there some setting that I should have to allow me to get these audio clips?
Is it a Windows Media Stream, or is it a real stream, or is it a QuickTime stream?
It's a Windows Media Stream.
It's supposed to be. What version of Windows Media do you have? You may be having a version conflict. You might need a newer version of Windows Media Player.
Try downloading the latest one. I'm afraid we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, John Champlin, Andrew Welch, of course, the great Rob Linton, and these guys from Ambrosia Software. Phenomenal people, incredible software. You need to check out their website at ambrosiasw.com. It's phenomenal. We're going to be back here next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Join us on the forums and on the web, and we'll be back next week on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. America.